If you were to entrust somebody with your estate, with your children, your most precious possessions, or especially yourself, who would it be and why? Over the past week, I got all the leaders and people on the leaders and elders got a text message that said it was from me. And it was a big scam saying they needed gift cards and all that. And it's signed Pastor James Sanderson. Well, that's where they knew that it wasn't me, because I never signed pastor in front of anything that I do. And so those people there were not to be trusted. We're all getting a hold of me. We know this isn't you, because you never want to be called pastor. And so they were wondering what was going on and checking in with that. And so there's people that you don't trust, and there's people that you do trust. Mike is our drummer, and I'll tell you what, you can pretty much trust him with your life. He's here all the time that we need him. I mean, he's just a good friend. He's been there with my family through thick and thin. And I'm telling you, Mike, thank you for being our friend and for being here all the time and helping us out with everything. You're amazing. Thank you. I finally get to say that it's what happened last year is gone. And you guys mostly know that I had a rough last year. It was a rough one. There's also some people that I would trust with my life. That's Kent and Sue. Kent and Sue, when I was not able to function, when I was not able to be anything, they grabbed me from my home, took me to theirs, and helped me to get back on my feet. And so to you, I say, thank you so much. You saved me. And there's other people that helped as well. And I was over at your house, maybe way too much. And y'all kicking me in the pants. Get out of here. We've had enough. And I go running back to Kent and Sue's. And so it's just amazing what happens when you can trust people with whatever. And when you can trust them, it means something. And so I'm going to go on a probably 4 to 6 weeks on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all we're going to get to today. The Lord is my shepherd. And the one question that I had in my mind after saying that's a pretty bold statement if you think about it. Because my first question was, is he? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he? Should he be? Should I trust him with my whole life? It's easy to say that. And then when your life falls apart and you feel like dying and you don't want to keep going, how do I say the Lord is my shepherd then? When I don't feel like he's protecting me, when I don't feel like he's worth it, when I don't feel like I can trust him. How do I say the Lord is my shepherd? Who is he? What is his character? Can I trust him with my life? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever read through Psalm 23 and you just read it? The Lord is my shepherd. And he goes, he might be asking you the same thing. Am I? Am I? It got quiet. It was like, shh, James, shut up. You're getting too personal. Am I your shepherd? Now, remember who's writing this? Who's writing this? Anybody know? David. What was David? He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. And so we have David who's looking up and he's writing this as a shepherd. And he is looking at this and going, and he was also known as the shepherd king later on. And this is David writing this. And David is sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, he's a shepherd. And he's now talking as what? A sheep. In order for him to go, the Lord is my shepherd, he is considering himself a sheep. He knows how dumb sheep are. And he considers himself a sheep. And so David is sitting there and he goes, the Lord is my shepherd. And I can't help but to think that he cannot be saying that other than through utter confidence of going, the Lord is my shepherd, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, no matter what I put myself through or people have put me through, the Lord is my shepherd. I can picture him going, the Lord, he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And all I could think about was Castaway. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Whenever he made fire finally. And he gets so excited and he goes, I have made fire. I have made fire. And I could just picture David standing out in the wilderness. The Lord, he is my shepherd. I think he probably knew how to make fire. And so he's out there and he makes fire. And David's out there and he says, the Lord, he is my shepherd. The relationship we find constantly throughout the Bible is one of either father and children or sheep and a shepherd. That's constant throughout the Bible. You can't go through it without them looking at that. And God's the one that conceived this idea in his mind. And so he says, this is the way it is. And why do you think that he did that? Why does he want us to see him as the shepherd? Not only the shepherd, but the good shepherd. Why is to trust him? Yeah. There's all kinds of things that you learn when you're going through things about trusting. And how much do you trust? I found out that I didn't trust him near as much as I thought that I did. I tell people, I trust him. What you got to do is you got to trust in the Lord. And then when people turn that around on you and you're going through the hard stuff and they're going, what you got to do is trust in the Lord. And you're kind of like, well, why don't you shut your mouth? Because I don't want to really hear that right now because I'm struggling. Right? And so God conceived this concept and it's made possible through the person of Jesus Christ. And then it's reinforced in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us saying, you can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's a good shepherd. So the result is this declaration of the Lord, he is my shepherd. And that's what facilitates a relationship with God. That's what it's really about. A sheep and a shepherd have a relationship. I don't know if you've ever worked cattle or you've worked deer or you've worked with sheep. They have personalities, horses, all that kind of stuff. I've been out there, all animals. Yeah, all animals pretty much have it. And so I've been out there riding horses and Laura's taken me to show this horse called Red Bull. Right? Red Bull's, they're a famous horse. And that horse has a personality I had no idea. And if you walk by it, it'll spit water on you. And the horse thinks it's funny. I mean, it's amazing how different animals have different personalities, and you have to be around them a lot in order to tell, no, this animal's going to do this. You better watch out for this animal. This one will bite you. All those kinds of things. This one will spit water at you. You never know. But you have to be around them. You have to get to know them. And so all of a sudden, we have to be in the presence of God in order for us to be his sheep. We have to be in his presence. So how does that make you feel? Do you feel inferior? Do you feel good? For me, it makes me feel valuable. It makes me feel valuable that he said, hey, listen, you are mine. I bought you at a price. You're mine. I mean, I've had animals where I've rescued animals and I'm going, I wish I wouldn't have done that. It's so dumb. I can't get it to do anything. I can't pet it. I've fed it. I water it. All it does is bite me. So I kick it. And so you think that you have this relationship with God that maybe he's, when I screw it up, he might be kicking me or thinking I'm so sad that I have James because he's so dumb. I cannot train the guy. I can't. I'm sure my parents have thought that many times. 1 Corinthians 6:19 does say that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. He thought you're so valuable, he paid for a price with his life. That's how valuable you are. I don't believe that sometimes. But that's what he says. So if the Lord is my shepherd, should I know something about him and his character and who he is and his abilities? I just can't say the Lord is my shepherd and I'm not sure that he should be. So what is some of his characteristics? He's willing to lay down his life for us. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then I want to go to 1 Samuel 17, where David was a shepherd. And let me give you the context of what's happening. David is the shepherd, and he's with his dad. His dad sends him out to check on the war. And remember, he's getting ready to go fight Goliath. He doesn't know it yet. But his dad says, go check on the boys, see how the war's going. I need you to go over and see this. So Goliath comes out. He shouts out his usual defiance. Anybody wants to fight me? If you win, we serve you. If I win, you serve us. And so David goes out there and he hears Goliath saying these things. And he shouts out the phrase, you know, who is this guy that thinks he can defy the armies of the living God? And so the soldiers around him hear this and they send him to King Saul. And so Saul is like, who are you that you think that you can do this? That you're capable of going and fighting this man that makes you look like a tiny ant. And so this is his answer. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Come on! What if I told you, hey, listen, I'm capable of watching your cows because one time when I was out watching deer, a lion came and it grabbed one of my deer. And what I do, I grabbed it by its mane. I busted that thing and I killed that thing. Not only that, then a bear tried it and I said, no bear either. And I thumped the bear. It says it grabbed it by his hair. I promise you, I don't care how much I love you and your horses or your cows or your sheep or whatever. If a lion grabs it, I'm done. I'll be like, you got a 99 more. I mean, that one got took. You know, I would get my gun, hopefully shoot that lion for you, but that's about the extent of it. What is David doing taking on a lion and a bear to save some sheep? I don't know either. I don't have the answer. But all I know is that he cared. Do you think that God is using this story here to show us how much he cares about us? If David's willing to go to those lengths, what is God willing to do for us? We know that he's willing to go to the cross for us and that he was willing to do whatever. And he says that he will leave the 99 to go and get us. And so he cares that much about us. And so David was out there. Think about when you're out there in the wilderness and you feel lost and you don't know what's happening. You're going through hard times and you wonder, what am I doing here? How long is this going to last? Is this ever going to end? I remember when it first happened and my wife left and everybody was telling me, someday it's going to be really good. It's going to be okay. And I just want to go, shut up. I'm dying here. That is not helping me at all. I hate you. That's where I was. I hate you. I hate God. I hate everybody. The farther I get away from it, I can see what God's doing. And they said, you have to keep working on you, James. You have to keep doing you. You have to keep working on you. And I was like, no, I don't want to. You need to fix her. That's never worked one time. If you just fix my wife, we'll be okay. If you just fix my husband, we'll be okay. Wrong focus. So I worked hard. I'm finally starting to see what people were saying. And they're right. I just didn't want to hear it. God is a shepherd telling me what's good for me. And he's right. I just don't want to hear it sometimes. And I'm so thankful that he still loves me. And he still walks with me. And he still uses me. It's amazing. It's fascinating. He's a good shepherd. Even when I feel like he's not. Especially when I feel like he's not. He is a good shepherd. The second thing that I think he does is he continually watches over us. He doesn't just, once he saved us from one thing, he just, well, I saved you from that. Good luck. You're good now. It's continual. I don't know if you know this about sheep, but they don't care for themselves. They don't keep themselves up. They don't do anything. They're probably the most helpless animal, from what I learned in Israel. They're the most helpless animal on the planet. That if you put something in front of them, one of the shepherds was telling us, if you put something in front of them and there's water over there and they need to get to it, they will stay there and go thirsty to death instead of going over that. But if you move it to the side, they'll go around and then do it. If one sheep jumps off the cliff, the rest do it too. That's crazy. It's crazy how these sheep act and they don't take care of themselves. And so, but he keeps taking care of us and keeps taking care of us and keep taking care of us. And what did he do for us? He gives us the Holy Spirit. He says, Jesus is up there beside God, constantly interceding for us. Can you imagine how much he has to constantly intercede for someone like Brady? Brady's like, yeah, I need him all the time, right? Any of us. He's constantly intercession for us all the time. Then he says, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who's going to constantly intercede for you. I'm learning that I'm not powerful enough to ruin his plan. But I'm trying. I'm working on it, right? I'm learning that I'm not powerful enough to ruin his plans. for my life. It's pretty amazing how much he loves us. So I don't think it's an accident that God compares us to sheep. Sheep, here's some of their tendencies. Mob instincts. They're always fearful. There's a lot of timidity, stubbornness, stupidity, etc. I can't believe he compares it us to that. That's ridiculous. I don't even feel like that. But that's going to be discussed in a different sermon. You guys might want to get a hold of me. Let me know. I'll let you know when that one's going to come up so you don't have to be here. So Jesus, our shepherd, he had no advantages as a child. Think about it. He had no advantages as a child, not in education, not in employment, fortunes, political power, military power, or anything. Yet no other person has ever made such an impact on the world's history. That's our shepherd. No other person in the world has ever made such an impact other than Jesus. And so that's who we get to call our shepherd. He's gentle. He is kind. He's protective. He's just. He's forgiving. But he's also pretty stern on those who, like the Pharisees, who misrepresent God. And they're going out there and ruining people. He was very hard on them. And what happened to them? He ended up getting killed by those people. Religious people will suck the life out of you and ruin you. Do your best to get rid of those people out of your life. And it'll be ugly. Because they don't go away quietly. I mean, I've heard. They just don't go away quietly. They tend to stick their nose in your business. I told somebody recently, I said, don't forget. Yeah, really. Don't forget that what other people think about you is none of your business. That's a good thing to live by. What other people think of you is none of your business. Keep moving on. Keep moving on. Yet people refuse to come under his care. Why? Why do people refuse to keep coming under his care? Because I think they refuse to acknowledge him as a shepherd because they believe him to be this ruler and this tyrant. Who all he's out to do, I don't know if you've ever been part of a religious organization that was just full of religious idiots. I was one time, and to the point where they were coming to my, I was in the military, and they were coming to my room wondering what I was reading and wondering what I was watching on TV. What are you watching? Is that wholesome? Is that good stuff? It didn't take but a few weeks of that for me to blow up. And I remember what I was watching at the time. When they came into my room, what are you watching? Silence of the Lambs? It's really wholesome. Sit down, because I'm scared to death. Oh my gosh. He wants to eat my liver. Stop. It was scary. And so then they started chastising me, and I finally told him, get it. And not very kindly, to get out of my room. And that's when I was done. I was done not only with those people, I was done with the Lord. And I had enough. I had enough. So those kind of people, they'll ruin you. They will absolutely ruin you. I think one reason the people are afraid of going ahead and putting God as their shepherd and putting their life in his hands is because I think it leaves a mark. It costs you something. It really does. We're working with cattle, and I don't know if you know much about the cattle stuff, but the cattle will come up, and they'll come up just close enough to you. And you think, I'm going to be able to finally pet this cow. You know, because I got cake. They call them cubes, cake, whatever. And so you come by with the Polaris, and they're following you. He's got cake. And so, yes, I do. And I pour it out, waiting just so I could touch. And then they come running back from you, and you're that close, and they're 1,000 pounds. They could run you over, and they're afraid of you. Well, there's a reason they're afraid of you, because just the day before we had them in a chute, and we were either branding them, cutting their ear, putting a tag in their ear. And so they're like, I want the cake, but I don't trust you. And I see a little bit of familiarity I want to give my life to the Lord, but I don't want it to hurt. I don't want to have to suffer. And only religious dummies will tell you that you don't have to suffer if you become a Christian. Jesus never said such a thing. Matter of fact, he said, count the cost. It's going to cost you something, but it'll be worth it. Because I will care for you. I will protect you, even from yourself. And so I think that people are afraid because they're not sure what's going to happen. In the Old Testament, you had servants and you had bondservants. A bondservant was able to choose who his master was. And so I love working for this person. I want to be yours for the rest of my life. And so, but then there was this procedure they had to go through. They would take them to a doorpost, put their ear against the doorpost, and hammer an awl through their ear and pierce it. And then put something in their ear, and that said, you are mine for life. They knew that was going to happen, and they did it. Why? Because they trusted that person with their whole life. I want to be associated with you for the rest of my life. But it also costs the owner as well, because once the owner accepts that person in, they now have to take care of them, their family, and everybody else that comes after them. So it costs both sides. The question is it worth it? Am I able to look at him and go, the Lord, he is my shepherd? Sometimes, sometimes not. And Jesus pays the ultimate price to be our shepherd. He paid the price. So he pays this price not only to have us, but then to care for us. And he tells us that we have to bear the mark of the cross. How many people are excited about hearing that? Nobody. But boy, we wear them, don't we? I'm a Christian. Look at my cross. Look at my cross as I give somebody the finger because they cut me off. There's a lot of laughter in there. On that one, everybody's like, ooh, you caught that on video, I think. And so, you know, we have this thing that we say we want to, and Luke 9:23 says, deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Every day. That doesn't mean that it has to be excruciatingly painful. It just means that I'm going to put down my stuff for his stuff. And all the junk that I don't want to carry, I'm going to give it to him, and I'm going to give it to the cross and put it on the cross. Take up my cross does not mean I have to lay down on the cross and get crucified every day. It means that I have the privilege and the honor of laying my stuff at his feet at the cross and saying, here, I can't do this. I need you to help me. Every day. Same thing with the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not a formula. It's about relationship. It's about relationship in there. So denying ourselves, it leaves a mark. It leaves a mark. And so some people hope that by merely admitting that he is their shepherd, that they'll have the benefits of his protection and his care without the cost. And that's what I want to challenge us in today, is to say, are you just giving him, you know, lip service, so to speak? Or can you honestly say, the Lord, he is my shepherd. No matter what it costs me, he's my shepherd because I trust him and I believe that he will still take care of me no matter what's going in my life, no matter if it's someone else's fault, whether it's my fault, no matter what's going on, he will take care of me. I'm still learning this process. I'm still working on it. And we'll keep working on it together. And we'll see where God takes us, even in the midst of all the stuff that may be happening in our lives. I keep thinking that this year is going to be a better year. Since 2017. 2017. That's going to be the year. Right? And then we have trouble in the family. I get my dad. He comes in, 2018, this is going to be the year. Then we have the big massive flood. People are dying. We don't know what to do. 2019 is going to be the year. And my dad dies, and we get all kinds of stuff happening in there. And then 2020, the year of perfect vision. COVID. COVID and everything went to hell, right? And then 21, not better, I almost died. Along with many of you. Some of our friends did. We lost some people along the way. 2022, finally, this is going to be the year. Wrong again. So now I'm just like, it's 2023. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. All I know is to say, the Lord, He is my shepherd, and He will get me through it. He's going to get us through. I don't care about your New Year's resolutions. I don't care about mine. I didn't even make any because I don't care. Lord, get me through this day, please. Tomorrow, Lord, get me through this day, please. And hopefully I'll be able to look back at the end of 2023 and go, the Lord, He is my shepherd. And I trust Him now more than I did at the beginning of the year. That's a pretty good goal. I think we can all do that. I'm going to bring up the band, which is Mike. Mike, yeah! Hey, we're having a good time today. We're making it. So who is this shepherd and is the cost worth it? Not if you believe that He's a tyrant. But I want to look at something in 1 John 4:7 as I close it out. 1 John 4:7 says something pretty amazing about our God. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And verse 16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us, because God is love." It keeps saying it over. God is love. Right? And so when we run back to 1 Corinthians 13, it kind of tells you, they call it the love chapter. And I think we've talked about this maybe once before, but I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but it talks about love is patient, love is kind, love is all these things. If you try sticking your name in there, you'll be depressed and want to kill yourself. I mean, that's just kind of the truth. Because put your name in there and go, I am patient, I am kind, I do not envy, I do not boast, I am not proud, I do not dishonor others, I am not self-seeking, I'm not easily angered, I don't keep record of wrongs. Ooh. Love, I do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. I always protect, I always trust, I always hope, I always persevere. I never fail. If you got all the other ones right, you're screwed at the last one. Right? And so, if God is love, can't we replace this love here with God? Maybe it's a beautiful description about who God is. I have been hammered over the head about I'm supposed to be like this. James, you're supposed to be like this. This is what love is, and you're supposed to be like this. Finally, God released me from that junk. He goes, no, it's a beautiful description about who I am. About who our good shepherd is. So let's read it that way. God is patient. Our shepherd is patient. Our shepherd is kind. Our shepherd doesn't envy. Our shepherd doesn't boast, and He is not proud. Our shepherd does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. And our shepherd keeps no records of wrongs. Oh, yeah. Amen. Our shepherd does not delight in evil, but He rejoices with the truth. Our shepherd always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Our shepherd never fails. It's pretty amazing. That's a great description of who our shepherd is. We can trust Him. He never fails, even when we feel like our world's falling apart. He never, ever fails. So I think we can start off the new year by believing that. And let's take it one day at a time, and maybe we'll find out, maybe we'll have some gratitude like the song says, and maybe we'll find ourselves just singing hallelujah. Because I have nothing else fit for a king. Other than a hallelujah. I don't know what else to say. Then hallelujah. Romans 10:9 ends it all up like we say every time. That the beginning of a relationship with God starts with that. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And He'll become your shepherd. That's how it all starts. If you want prayer, please get a hold of us after the service. We would love to be praying with you. Fill out a form. Get on our text it over to the guys. They'll be praying for you. We can trust Him. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. And I'm gonna trust Him today hopefully more than I did yesterday. We'll keep walking this thing out together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you're trustworthy. It says that you're faithful even when we're not. You keep working all things for the good of those that love you. And we're just saying right now, we love you. And when we're struggling with our belief systems, would you please help us with our unbelief? When we're struggling with wisdom, would you please give us wisdom? Because you said if we ask for it, you'll give it to us. So I pray that you would help us to trust you a little bit more today than we did yesterday. And that we would be able to say, like David said, the Lord, he is my shepherd. And we would believe it with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for us as we do this song one more time?